love seeing the little kids. Oh, Grandpa. So all of us have heard since Wednesday about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And if you have gone on social media or if you have turned on the news, you have heard stories, you probably have heard quotes from him. And as I was on like Instagram and Facebook, it just started blowing up. The reels were quotes or different things from him. And I started to listen to them. I knew who he was. I've followed Turnpoint. I've listened to some of his quotes before, some of his talks before. But I sat there. I found myself Thursday morning after I did my devotion, sitting there just going through reels. And I didn't find myself celebrating a life well lived. I started to feel convicted. As I watched reel to reel to reel, I just found myself being more convicted of what God had called me to or called me to become. I started looking at my life in ministry. I've been working in ministry since I graduated college. And I'm like, have I been timid? Have I held back? You know, I wasn't being convicted because I killed an unborn baby. I wasn't being convicted because I got a degree that I don't use. I wasn't being convicted because I live in a sinful lifestyle. I was being convicted because I asked myself, am I bold enough in my faith like Charlie Kirk was? I remember sitting with a group of pastors years ago, and we were talking about, we read some scripture together, and we were talking about being persecuted. How we will be persecuted just like Jesus was persecuted. And there was a pastor sitting there that was a pastor for 38 years at the time. And the pastor says, in my years of service, I have never felt persecuted. I have never felt like someone has come against me in those 38 years. And I thought to myself, thinking back, this is now 20 years ago, this gathering happened. And I started thinking to myself, I've always held that, saying, wow, in 38 years, he's never felt persecuted. He never felt like someone's coming against him. And I started to think, nothing against this man. I learned a lot from this person. And he had a great ministry. But I'm like, man, if I don't do something bold enough, strong enough against Satan, that Satan and his demons don't want to come against me. Charlie was that. He was brave. He was bold. The Holy Spirit filled him to give him a boldness beyond all of us. And our battle is not against flesh and bone, but against principalities of the evil one. One of the reels that really struck me, and I know about a month ago I talked about leaving our legacy. One of the people that was interviewing Charlie asked him, when it's all done, what do you want to leave? I just want to show the clip from that.
Die, if everything completely goes away, how do you want to be remembered? If I die, everything just goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing.
How do you want to be remembered? Courage for your faith. Think of all the stories in the Bible. Think of all the different people, how they had courage for their faith. I could imagine a teenager running out and saying, I'm going to take on Goliath. Courage for his faith. That's how I want to be remembered. I don't want to hold back. I want to give all to God. We have been talking about worship. We started a new sermon series about worship last week. And this week we're going to continue in it. And I believe it falls into what Charlie went through, what we are going through. And I want to read it. We're going to pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to that. This is the time when the Israelites were in the promised land. They were actually there. But their enemies didn't disappear. They were in the land that God promised, but their enemies still gathered together and came against them. And this is where we're picking up in chapter 20. Jehoshaphat was the king. And outside their boundaries was a vast army coming against them. And Jehoshaphat was a godly man. He was one of the godly kings of Israel. And the first thing he did was he grabbed the leaders. He grabbed all the leaders of Israel and he assembled them together to seek the face of God. And this is where we're going to pick up in verse 5 in chapter 20. It says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not good in heaven? Or are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disasters come upon us, the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you. For your name is in this house. And cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. This was the prayer that Jehoshaphat was ringing out to God. He was basically giving a history lesson back to God, saying, God, you did these things. You are the Almighty. You did these things. You drove out the people of this land. You gave this land to the Israelites, to the people. And we have built a sanctuary here to worship you. Thank you, God. But that didn't do anything. There were still people at the door coming in. And the son of Zechariah, the prophet, Jaziel, said this. And he said, listen, all Judah, picking up in verse 15, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, I'm speaking to you. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground, and all Judea and its inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. What did they do? Prophet comes and says, this isn't your battle. This is God's battle. Jehoshaphat's like, okay. We're just going to go out there and stand around. But the battle's God's. That's at least what the prophet said. But they had the faith and the courage to say, God said this through this prophet, and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. Their response, literally with death at their door, was to worship God. Worship. Worship is so powerful. It's not just, hey, two little songs or three little songs before we get into the Word of God and we can hear from the preacher. No. That's just as important what we did for the first 30 minutes than what I will say for the next 30. And why? Three reasons why worship is so powerful. One, worship invites God's presence into our situation. Jehoshaphat and all the leaders of Jerusalem and Judea came and worshiped God. They fell on their faces and worshiped God. And God showed up. God didn't stand at a distance and says, nope, this battle is yours. Good luck. He showed up in that time. In Psalms 22, verse 3, it says, but thou art holy, art thou inhabitants the praises of Israel. God inhabits the people, his people. It reminds us that God is drawn by the worship of his people, by the praise. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22, it says, and they began to sing and praise the Lord, set ambushes against the men who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. I couldn't imagine being part of that army. Your king's like, okay, there's a bunch of people out there. They're coming to destroy us. We're going to go out there and stand there. God didn't tell us what to do yet, but we're just going to stand there. We might as well go out there and maybe sing a few songs. Praise God while we're out there. And God showed up. One of the reels I was watching was Charlie Kirk's church on Wednesday night. The church that he attended gathered together. And I couldn't imagine being the pastor or the leadership of that church. Probably the most famous person in your church was just executed. Died. What are we to do? What are we going to do? What did they do? They gathered and worshiped. They sat there and praised the Lord. And I guarantee God showed up. They found their comfort in God's presence. Imagine this room being pitch black. No lights on, no sun coming through the windows. If I lit a match, what does that match do? What does that light do? That light overtakes the darkness. And that's what happens when we worship. We invite God into this dark world that we're in, and his presence overtakes it. The eventually there's no darkness in this room. The light from that match, especially as it grows, fills this whole room. That brings me to point two. Worship breaks chains. What do I mean by that? Worship actually breaks physical chains. We can go into Acts. Paul and Silas being in prison. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They could be executed the next day, for all they know. They're sitting in prison, and we pick it up in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They weren't just praying. What else were they doing? And singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison's doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Worship literally brought freedom in the darkest place. Isaiah says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. When we worship, it connects us to the one who can bring freedom. John 8, it says, so the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Christ is the one that brought freedom to each and every one of us. And it's revealed in worship. It breaks every chain of sin, fear, and bondage. Worship is the key that unlocked the prison doors. Imagine being tangled in ropes. Unable to move. You're all tied up, bound in ropes. And then when you begin to worship, it's like a fire being set to the end of one of the ropes. One by one, those bounds snap until you're free and able to stand and walk again. Worship didn't change the situation. It brought the person that could free us into the situation. Months ago, went through a really dark place in ministry. And it was hard. It was one of the hardest, probably top three things I went through in my life. And I remember being at home, reading the Bible, saying, God, why? Why me? Why am I in this situation? Like Paul and Silas, why? I'm sure they had a lot of questions going through their mind as they sat in prison. And then I received the text. I opened up the text. And it was a text from Phil Wickham and Brandon Lake. We went to one of their concerts, summer worship series, and of course, you scan the little, you know, QR codes on the screen and they send you stuff. And we did that. And of course, I just started sending text messages after text messages. But this one said, hey, I have a new song. It's from Brandon Lake. And I just want to play a clip of it right now.
Yeah, I don't always feel it. Yeah, but that's when I need it the most. So I'm gonna keep on singing till my soul catches up with my song. There's times when my hands go up freely, the times that it calls. there's days when a praise comes out easy, days when it takes all the strength I got. I'll bring my heart, fought, heartfelt, been through hell, hallelujah. And I'll bring my storm, tossed, torn self, story to tell, hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious. Faithful, whatever I'm feeling or facing, so I'll bring my heart, thought, heartfelt. It is well, hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh.
It was about 8 a.m. as that text came through. I opened it up and started playing the song. I was like, "Oh, a new song. Let me listen to it." I played that song on repeat for 8 straight hours. My situation didn't change. My attitude did. My attitude changed because I was in the presence of God. As I sat there, and it didn't take long to memorize the words, to be able to sing, man, and sing along with Brendan Lake. And worship God. And saying, man, it's a hard time. I can't raise my hands. I can't worship you right now. It takes everything I got to do this, God. But he brought me through it. Worship broke those chains I was in. Worship is powerful. Music is powerful when it comes to that. And my last point. Worship gives us victory through faith. It's not just our worship. We can sing songs. People sing songs all the time. But the worship that we bring is faith in the one that we're singing them to. It's not just, oh, I sang this song, it was great. I remember years ago when we were first married, I was a chimney sweep. We were the perfect Mary Poppins couple. My wife was a nanny. I was a chimney sweep. I didn't do a song or dance. I didn't have to wear a top hat. Thank goodness the owner of the company gave the top hat up decades before I started working there. But I remember walking in to this one house. We were running late. I was the lead chimney sweep. You always had a helper. And I said, here's the thing. We're doing this house, and we're doing a house like three doors down. And being a chimney sweep and the stuff you had to do, you had to prepare the thing. We brought drop cloths to put out in front of the fireplaces and all these things to keep it clean. And I said, why don't you drop me off with enough stuff to do this house? And then you drive down the street and start setting up for the next house, so when I'm done here, I can come over and we'll finish that house. And it was one of the scariest situations I think I've been in. I knock on the door to this house. I have, you know, drop cloths, I have my vacuum, my brushes to sweep the chimney. When I knock on the door just kind of swings open. No one's at the door. House is pitch black inside. This is, you know, late fall. This is, you know, 5:30 late fall, so it's dark outside. No lights, no anything. And all I hear is a voice say, come on in. Fireplace is in the room to your right. I'm like, okay. I can't even see the, you know, a step in front of me. Take out the cell phone. We had a little flip phone at the time, and, you know, like, okay, found my way. I found my way to a fireplace. And we have, you know, those extension cords with the light on it so we can look up the chimney and stuff. And I was like, went around, finally found a outlet to plug it in. And this is where it got really scary, was I turn on it. And you're in a living room, like, but on the coffee table that was, like, right behind me, was a book of spells. And I started looking around. I was in a house of a witch. I'm like, okay, this is a little creepy. This is a little scary. And all I could think of was, okay, God, show up. This is a little, I'm scared. I'm like, I'm a 6'2", you know, 200-plus pound man. Most people don't scare me. Most things don't scare me, but I was scared. And in that time, I was like, okay, God, I know that you are stronger than this witch, these spells, or anything that can happen. And all I did was like, I was like, and it brought me back to my Sunday school days of when I was in the Baptist church I grew up in, saying, okay, God, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the, and I was like, first worship, first song that I can remember. You know, as people say, as you get older and you start losing your memory and different things as you get older, you go back to the things when you're in childhood. Yep, that was the first thing I could remember. But it brought me a calm. It brought me a peace. Because I knew my victory was in Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus and what he did on that cross for me. And I knew that that witch, that power, that demon had no power over me in that place. First John, it reads, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even in our faith. Our faith connects us to God's victory. And our worship strengthens that faith. Imagine, let's go back to the story of Jehoshaphat. Imagine being those people in that army. Your king, your ruler just comes up to you and says, hey, you're not going to have to do anything today. We're just going to go stand in front of them. And God's going to do something, but you're just going to stand there. You don't even have to bring your sword today or your shield. Just show up. I couldn't imagine. But instead, hey, instead of you guys that know how to fight with sword and shield, we're going to do something else. I just stopped over at the church, and we picked up the choir. Hey, worship team, come on up. We're throwing you out first. Have fun. See what you, a little drum and a guitar and, you know, or a lyre and harp in those days, whatever it was. Let's see how you can do a battle with that. Maybe you can shoot some arrows from your harp. But Jehoshaphat sent the worship team first. And they began to worship, and what happened? They had the victory. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to have the worship team come on up again. You guys can come up right now. I'm just going to share a little story. One of the churches I worked in, the church support this missionary. He was a pastor to pastors, basically a bishop to pastors over in Africa. And one day he went to this one tribe and one of the pastors that he worked with, and he went to meet with them. And when he got there, he found out the bad news. The tribe that they were working with, this was definitely not a Bible-believing tribe. This tribe that this pastor has been trying to witness to, evangelize to, the head of the tribe, the wife, died. And the way they did it over in Africa was they took the body and put it in a tent. And it was basically like a viewing like we have here. And people were allowed to go in and out of the tent, pay their last respects, and go from there. But the head of this tribe, who was known for doing some shady things, taking lives, came up to the pastor and came up to this pastor of pastors, his name was Jeremiah, came up to the two of them and said, "Hey, you've been telling us about this God that has power. I want to see this power." And he told them to go in the tent. So Jeremiah and this other pastor walk into this tent. Dead lady. Smells really bad. What are we supposed to do? We don't know what he's asking. He just told us to come in here. He said, "You have a God that has power. Go in there." Go in there and do what? They're like, "We came in. Should we go out and say, 'Yep, she's dead. Still dead.'" They didn't know what to do. They started to pray. And they're like, "Okay, we prayed. God, tell us what to do. Still nothing." That's like, "Okay, we've been in here for like 10 minutes. Should we leave? I don't know. He could take our lives if we walked out there. If he's not getting what he's thinking he's getting, I don't know what he's thinking." They sat there and like, "Okay, we don't have any more words to pray. We don't know what to do." So they began to worship. Two men sitting in a tent with a dead lady. And they're starting to sing songs. They're praising God. God showed up. Could have been 10 minutes. It could have been 10 days. As they were praising God, two voices turned into three. And three people walked out of that tent. God is God of miracles. Our faith, God didn't stop doing miracles when, you know, it said it is finished at the end of Revelation. Those two pastors walked out with the lady, the wife of the head of the tribe. And from that miracle, the whole tribe gave their lives to the Lord. And it was all because they worshiped and said, "God, do what you need to do. We don't know what this man wants. We know you do." The worship shifted the focus. We focus on our problems. We focus on the issues. Those two pastors focused on the problems that they were going to have. Like, "Hey, we walk out and this guy's not happy, he could kill us." Their worship focused on the person who can solve the problems, who can break the chains, who can change the situation. When they worshiped, God showed up and did the miracle. That's the power of worship. Let us stand right now and worship him.
All I see is the battle. You see the victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every against me. For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is the cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Almighty Fortress, and Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
One more time, Almighty Fortress.
Almighty Fortress, for you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God,
sing, so when I fight again.
So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Lord, as we close our time this morning, just keep that song just in the front of our minds, in our mouths, as we go forth and saying, maybe that's all we can do. As Pastor Todd was just saying, as you moved him to do, maybe it's just a song you bring to our minds, and we're just supposed to stand, or we're supposed to be out in front and stand and sing. Maybe we have nothing else we can say, and you bring a song to our heart and our mind. Maybe we have to sing it on repeat all day long. Oh, but Lord, it's powerful. And there's so many ways to worship, but God, you call us just to be faithful. Faithful in whatever circumstance, whatever battle you bring us to. Just to be faithful for what you call us to. Help us to do that this week in some way. Maybe somebody right now, I guarantee, is on each and every person's mind. Someone for them to talk with, or restart a conversation, or revisit. Maybe a relationship that's been fractured for too long. Maybe to try to restore that line of communication, God. Help us to do that. Not be afraid when that moment comes and we have to open our mouth to say something, God, that you give us the words to speak. Thank you for just this just special morning that you've been here and you're always here, just inhabiting the space, our lives, our hearts. Somebody watching again here in this room or online and doesn't know you in a real way, God, that they would reach out, that they would seek you. And ultimately, thank you for the truth in your word and the truth and the power in your son Jesus and his birth, his death, burial, and resurrection, that's where the good news is. And we thank you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.